The 90s podcast is brought to you in association with Season Master and the Window Workshop. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 332 of the 9 Years podcast. I am Nick Draper. I am joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. Thank you for downloading the show this week. We have a few different things to talk about. We obviously have an FA Cup second round victory and third round draw to discuss, but I'm not really sure how deep we can delve into that particular topic. But of course, FA Cup third round draw means FA Cup third round TV picks. And that's got us talking and thinking this week. We also have a new Premier League TV rights deal to discuss. As someone revs their motorbike right outside my window, I don't know if you can hear that, Stu. It's very, very frustrating. Can you hear that?
I can hear nothing. No, I can hear nothing, mate.
Can't do what, sorry?
The old ones are the best.
I'm not going to finish off that joke. And amongst all that, of course, we have an Aaron Sass Supermatch game to play ahead of the visit of Swindon Town on Saturday in League Two. But Stu, let's begin with the 5-0 win over Ramsgate on Monday evening. We've spoken about the frustration, my frustration with, I know everyone gets excited because of TV coverage and that, and you get some people, some, you know, somewhat famous people down to the club, and there's a little bit of extra glitz and glamour and whatever. But I mean, what was proved, I think, was why non-league team away at league team doesn't really get picked for TV normally.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? So obviously we're going to go on to the third round picks. And I'm always of the opinion that I think the non-league clubs should get the TV deals in terms of the TV money. There were £60,000 for each team that was shown live. If you look at it, they had Cray Valley, didn't they? They had the other Kent club. I forgot their name now, but there was a few non-league clubs that got the £60,000, and that £60,000 is a lot of money. It's a lot of money to us as well, isn't it? So I was pleased for the second round that the TV companies, even if the lowest placed team was away, they picked them. And of course, it was great because that meant that we got the money as well. And we're certainly not going to sniff at £60,000. And then, of course, £64,000 for being successful and getting into the third round.
Yeah. And we spoke last week about the game itself, and you and I didn't really foresee any difficulties for us. And so it was proved we still had to do a professional job. And we did that. And of course, we played very well. But Ramsgate will perhaps reflect on the start of the game. Why do even Division 8 teams think they want to start playing out from the back? Especially, I mean, mate, it's not really too harsh against, you know, non-league sides and what have you. But, you know, you watch us play a couple of games and, you know, one of our big things this season is the high press. So we're going to press high. You really think you're going to play your way through that? With all due respect, no. And again, as it was proved on more than one occasion, but the most important one was the first one. As soon as Jake Rees finishes it, fantastic finish from Jake Rees. But as soon as that goal goes in, game over.
Yeah, early goal does do that, doesn't it? You're right. I think I remember saying to you, I was watching on the BBC iPlayer or the Red Button one Saturday afternoon. It was last season's FA Cup, and they had one of the preliminary rounds on there. And I remember, I can't remember what the team was, but they were probably a bit higher up the pyramid than what Ramsgate were, and they were playing out from the back. Both teams were, in fact. And it struck me, I think, you know, we said this before, haven't we? You get to a stage where everyone copies everyone. It sort of means the Premier League sort of starts it with sort of like high press, low press, all that sort of stuff, or playing out from the back, or the keeper, you know, their keeper being a sweeper and starting attacks. And it sort of filters the way down. And of course, as it filters the way down in the leagues, the quality of the player naturally gets worse. So, yeah, if you're going to try... The moment I saw them trying to play out from the back, I'm like, game on. Like, this is going to be over in no time at all. And it proves, yeah. They obviously scouted us. They must have scouted. If they didn't, I'd be amazed. But their manager went and said they're not going to change their principles to play against us. That's fair play. That's fair play to them, but... They got on the end of a 5-0 And let's be fair, if it was 7 or 8 or even 9, it wouldn't have had us.
Yeah, I mean, once the fifth goes in, I'm thinking, I mean, I didn't even celebrate the fourth or fifth goals, to be honest with you. So I just think, yeah, whatever.
Like the combined county days again, isn't it? Like, bravo, bravo.
It really was. And I wish I could remember now, but somebody, it's funny you say that because, yeah, there was somebody tweeted us at 9YRS podcast and said, you know, don't remember a game like that since playing Rains Park Vale. And I think it was a general sort of reference to the CCL, but yeah. We did once play Rains Park Vale at home in like maybe the Combined Counties League Cup, you know, the Premier Challenge Cup, was it called? And we played them in midweek and we were identical, almost identical to Monday night. We were 5-0 up with still about 40 minutes to play. And I just for some reason, I myself had remembered that fixture because I was thinking that night I could have gone home at 5-0. And similarly on Monday, we could have all just gone home, to be honest with you, like because it did just play out as you would expect. And it was just chance after chance after chance. Goalkeeper made many, many saves. It could have been. Yes, it could have been a record for us since returning to the football. Well, maybe it was anyway. Well, joint record, isn't it? Because we had Bury. We beat Bury 5-0, didn't we?
We did. Back George Franklin scored a penalty that day, I remember.
He scored a couple, didn't he? I think, if I remember rightly. We scored 10 goals against them in a week in league and cup.
That's right, yeah.
We probably should have scored a few more. But hey, we didn't. We threw. We've been greedy. We've had games against non-league teams in the recent past where we've struggled. Haringey Borough, of course, you'll remember, really struggled away from home, which does make a difference. But Sutton United, of course, knocked us out at home. Chesterfield last season. So, you know, we're not going to bemoan getting through. I do think had the game been at Ramsgate, would have been slightly more difficult.
Yeah. Having advantage, even though Ramsgate brought 1,500 fans, which was great, apart from the horns that they were bringing in and started doing my head in after a while. Thought I was back at the South Africa World Cup. Not that I was there, obviously watching it on TV. Hey, look, you know, it created a really good atmosphere. Difficult one, isn't it? Difficult one. You know, you want them to enjoy a day. We went through easily. And I thought, do you know what? I felt we got a little bit bored with possession. Now, I know it sounds silly, but I felt like we had so much possession that we actually ran out of different moves. And it was like 5-0. Addy went off and threw his strop, didn't it? Because he obviously could see that he had loads more goals available to him. And it just sort of dried up. But it's a comprehensive win. And Joe, we're playing well. Yeah, I know we had the slip up against Gillingham in the week, but we're playing well. 10 goals in the FA Cup already, and we only played 2 rounds. So we must be the top goal scorers already. Well, maybe not. Teams that have been in there a bit longer than us, maybe, but you know.
Maybe, but I mean, there can't be many seasons. I think, ironically, wasn't Sutton the... The year we got knocked out by Sutton was actually the year of the Curzon Ashton game. So,
yes.
Okay, because I'm trying to think of, you know, number of goals we've scored in an FA Cup in a season. And of course, the Bury game, we scored 7 against them across 2 games. And then Curzon Ashton, another 4. So we've still got a little way to go. But I don't think we've scored 10 goals when we got to the semi-final back in 1997. So,
no, but do you know what's interesting about it? We made about our home form, didn't we? It's not been great. But at home, we scored 2 lots of 5s and 2 lots of 4s.
Yeah.
Tranmere with the 4s, Tranmere North County and Cheltenham and Ramsgate. So I think there was a stat or something saying that there's, I think, the most amount of goals in League 2 have been at Plough Lane, at joint side of it. So
I was going to say Wrexham, surely.
Yeah, I forgot. No, Wrexham don't count. They're Welsh.
Wrexham and Stockport, because Stockport scored goals by the bucket loads. Well, I think they beat Wrexham 7-0, didn't they? Something ridiculous earlier in the season. But it shows you how quickly things move on, don't they? In football at the moment. Ali got a standing ovation when he was substituted, as you say, Stu. He was the only sub that got a standing ovation. I thought that was harsh. Who was your man of the match on the evening?
Ali stood out naturally, didn't he?
Who did
I midfield pair. Ali naturally stood out.
Yeah.
I thought Amani Little and Jake Rees in midfield were keeping the ball rolling quite a lot. Let's be fair, it's not going to be a defender because they don't have to defend that much. So I probably would go with Ali. But after that, probably Jake Reeves. I know he wasn't as influential as he has been in other games, but his captaincy is just brilliant. And those sort of games, he's valuable because he won't let the standards drop.
Yeah.
And he scores his goals. And all we've got to do with Jake is just work out a celebration for him, because the main running towards a crowd is just, Jake is a nice guy, but he just looks like really moody. It reminds me of a celebration that Imani Little did when he scored against Tranmere, like a moody celebration. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Wasn't there someone used to be famed for their moody celebrations, but I can't remember who it was now. But it will come to us during the podcast, no
Jake
doubt.
Jervis.
No, because he didn't score any goals.
That's why I'm moody.
I think there was like a Premier League player. I might be thinking maybe someone like Balotelli or someone, maybe. Just score a goal and sulk and scored. But hey, anyway, that's another discussion.
Balotelli years ago. Balotelli, I don't know what his name is, the Italian bloke. The funniest thing I ever saw him do was when he tried to put on a bib and he couldn't do it. And he had to get one of the training guys to help him. And he had the right arm. And it was just hilarious. But then, you know, he's supposed to let the fireworks off in his own place, isn't he? So he's a bit of a fruitcake.
Yes. God, well, probably longer back in history than we think as well. Anyway, we're well off topic. I don't think anything to add. I wanted to talk quickly, though, about attendance, because the attendance was, you know, just shy of 7,000, I think, on Monday night, which was excellent, which we weren't expecting, I don't think, whatsoever. Pricing encouraged a few. I think people got excited by the build-up. I think TV might, in a strange way, almost seem to add. I think it made it more of an occasion for people thinking they would come down and watch it in person, bizarrely. Because, you know, moving it to the Monday, and with Ramsgate being the lowest ranked team left in, you know, it wasn't just the fact it was on ITV on a Monday. There was lots of press coverage on TV in the days leading up to it as well. So I think that helped generate a bit of excitement around it. But anyway, I just have to say this, Stuart, and we don't want to dip into politics on this podcast, but cost of living crisis, if there's a cost of living crisis, I'm not seeing it, I've got to be honest. And it's certainly, do you know what's not being affected by any cost of living crisis is football, because football attendances continue to be on the up and up and up at every single level. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there, to be honest.
I think, you know, they used to say football was for the working class, didn't they? But I think you look at the Premier League's very rarely do they not sell out. I think there's a different class of fan. I think football's still very popular, so people try and where they can go to football. But hey, look, if it wasn't a cost of living crisis, we'd probably double that attendance at Plough Lane if we could fit him in. Of course, I know what you mean, but I think, you know, a fair play to the club for pricing, you know, £10 and £5 for the second round. And you know what? Just quick in terms of ticket price, I've just bought my Crawley ticket, which is £15 in a Terracing, which I have to applaud Crawley for something. And £15 is very good value compared to what it is in other places.
Yeah, this is true. But that actually ties into the point I make, because, you know, pricing was good for the Ramsgate game, but, you know, we're looking at Swindon, Notts County games, high attendances as well, where tickets are difficult to come by, or we're waiting for people to release season tickets to benches, whatever it might be. But our price, we're not cheap. We're not cheap, Stu.
Oh, no.
So, you know, be interested to see how our merchandise sales as well are like, because I don't see a shortage of new kits and new scarves and things being worn around the stadium as well. So I think we're doing very strong on that too, which is just, you know, just interesting for me to observe. Hopefully programme sales are keeping up so we don't abandon that, but I've not heard any more on that one, so watch this.
Can I just say very quickly, right, this just shows you how technical, and I'm like, how can I describe this? I was reading a program the other day, obviously my boy was a mascot, so I had a program, I was going to read it, but I felt like I was trying to enlarge it, you know, like on your iPad where you just sort of do your two fingers and you like, I felt like I was going to do that, and then of course then realized it wasn't an iPad, it was a proper hard copy of a program. But the wording, I mean, that's not going blind, but the wording was very, very small. I just felt like I needed to enlarge it. So you know what I did? I took a picture of it.
Oh, my word. What a world we live in.
Don't need glasses, mate.
It must be said that, the font size is quite small, but that's because, you know, we've reduced the program down to A5 as well, which doesn't help in matters of trying to keep it bigger. But, yeah. There's also the fact, you know, in cold weather, it is kind of sometimes it's hard to enlarge things. But, you know,
that's mugging it till March.
Well, or not, as the case may be. Anyway, moving on. Where do we want to go from that? TV. So before
yes,
we'll go from the FA Cup. And looking at the third round draw, so we've got Ipswich at home. And again, it'll be interesting to see what we do with prices. I want to come back to your Crawley point as well. There's lots of things we're going to touch on there.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see what we do for prices for Ipswich. A lot of people have already suggested that Ipswich might be thinking more about league and trying to get promotion into the Premier League, which, I mean, we have, I mean, Luton did it fairly quickly. We've seen teams do it, go straight through, and that can be a bit of a poison chalice when you go through so quite as quickly. But hey, good luck to them if they do with a very, what looks like a very talented, capable manager they've got there now. Yeah. We haven't been chosen for TV. There's a couple of parts to this. There have been six games chosen, absolutely diabolical picks, to be honest with you. We all expected Wigan versus Manchester United. Fair enough. Yeah, that was always going to be. That's a one time where Manchester United are on TV in the FA Cup, and you can't really complain about that one. Arsenal-Liverpool was always going to be picked. Again, can't really have any too many complaints about that one. Palace Everton, really?
Hey, look, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. this is my point about the third round, right? You've got teams like Maidstone and stuff who've got through to the third round, and I just don't get. You know, these clubs don't need. I think it's 80 grand each club. Crystal Palace don't need 80 grand. They get 100 million because of their TV pool money, a bare minimum of 100 million pounds. I just don't understand it. It feels to me like ITV and BBC, because they don't have the Premier League deals, they just think, well, actually, do you know what? When we get the FA Cup, we'll take them then. Because it's just the rubbish fixtures. Palace Everton, absolute bore on a Thursday night. Tottenham Burnley, absolute bore. Southampton Newcastle, yeah, I get that. Middlesbrough and Villa, absolute bore.
Well, I get. Oh, Sunderland and Newcastle, 100%. I mean, that's a given. That's always
but not
TV.
The Borough, not the Borough of Villa.
Yeah, I can see it because that's that one for me. I would say fair enough. It doesn't particularly excite me, but then nothing really excites me anymore. God, that sounds depressing, doesn't it? But I can see. I don't have an issue with that one because that's a chance for an upset against a team that are flying high in the Premier League at the moment. I don't have an issue with that one. The ones for me really are that Palace and Spurs ones. They really are the ones that you kind of go, as you said, Maidstone at home. Yes, okay. Maidstone, what is it, Stevenage or Port Vale? I mean, okay, all right. It's not great, but it's still surely more interesting ones. I think, where is Sheffield United? Gillingham versus Sheffield United. League Two versus Premier League. That seems to me more interesting.
Do you know what? I think really what they should do, and they won't do it because they pay a lot of money for the deals. They want to get their viewing figures. That's the bottom line of it, isn't it? But I think, you know, Arsenal, Liverpool, yeah, I can agree. But I think there should only be probably one all Premier League game live, and all the others should be lower league clubs. Because ultimately, these clubs are going to get through, aren't they? And it's just, I think we have this big issue at the moment where we keep saying that the lower league clubs need better funding. Yeah, TV companies don't help at all with it, you know. And I'm not saying that we should be on. I don't think our game is attractive enough for it. So it's not about going, well, we should be on. And I don't think we should be. I don't think it's an attractive game. But it just shows you the way. The problem is, if you went out to most fans, they wouldn't argue against these because they'd be like, well, yeah, my team's on TV, or the Premier League is, or it's a Premier League. There's nothing. What's below the Premier League? There isn't, is there? There's no football below the Premier League to some of these fans. So, you know, Super League will come out and fall, didn't they? Because they thought they might be losing their football and stuff like that. But they don't give a monkeys about the lower leagues. And the TV companies just showed up.
And again, the other point to this is the TV rights deal that Premier League has just signed. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. The issue now facing ourselves is whether we play on the Saturday or the Sunday, because now the TV games have been released. We know that leaves Chelsea, Fulham, Brentford, QPR and ourselves all at home, all currently with Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs. There is no chance in hell that will be allowed to happen. So a few of us are going to have to get shoved onto the Sunday, which is annoying. You've also got Millwall at home into that. But in fact, Sutton were the only London team in the draw not to get a home tie, which is essentially unheard of. So there's a chance we get pushed off a Saturday 3 p.m. again, which is going to be annoying. Because I said to you, Stu, by the time we play that Crawley game next week, it will be three Saturdays out of six where we haven't played. Which is, not great. Not great.
Yeah, but Joel, if we get moved to the Sunday, we're on track to play to have a game on every day of the week of this season.
We have
Monday, Saturday, Monday, Friday.
It's just Thursday we struggle with.
Yeah, isn't there a Thursday? What's the Pompey game in the Bristol Rovers? Not Bristol Rovers Cup, the Bristol Street.
Oh, that's on a Tuesday night. But that doesn't count anyway, so you know.
So, I reckon. But it's an interesting point. I'm just going very quickly off topic, but about attendances in terms of people getting in late to the game on Monday night. There's a lot of people coming in very late, wasn't there? And there was reports again that people getting into the ground weren't getting in as quick as they need to be. I'm just wondering whether it's worth moving about, especially with the traffic around Plough Lane and trains and that. Is it worth moving it to an 8 o'clock start or later? Get home a bit later, but you know, I don't know if you looked at the attendance on Monday, there was a lot of people coming in once the game had kicked off. Now, granted, a lot of them been in the pub, but yeah, just a little point that is interesting.
I must admit, it's not something that I particularly noticed, if I'm being honest with you. But that's probably because I was blinded by the digital advertising boards opposite me, which make watching the game an absolute chore sometimes.
What did you think about the TV angle? I got home and I watched the game, as you did, again. It was a different, obviously a flatter angle, wasn't as high up.
No.
But I like the angle that they had. But obviously the problem we had is all those people that have paid money to have their advertising on the electronic scoreboard.
Yeah.
We're on the wrong side.
Yeah. Well, might as well not bother. Yeah. Just go back to the old style. You know, it's quite interesting. I noticed, because the other week when Gillingham had the floodlight failure, there were some photos and I commented on how bright those ridiculous balls were with the floodlights off. But actually Gillingham fans have also commented about struggling to watch the game when those balls, those boards. Yeah, because they've got the same problem. When they're on the opposite side or whatever, they lose the ball completely, which is what the problem I and many others have with them. And hey, look, I keep going on about this rant about where we are with things, but everyone's argument will be, well, they generate more money, so it's a good thing, But have we done what it would be I hate using sort of business speak. That sounds like business speak, and I know you hate that. But SWOT analysis, have we looked at like the opportunities and the weaknesses of the digital advertising? Because
one, you can't see the ball.
I mean, who's your priority? And they'll say, well, making money is a priority, I guess. But I kind of feel like, do you know what? I've said this before, Stu, and I know it winds some people up and stuff like that. But yeah, we have this model that we're very partial towards. And I mean, no, as I've always said, I don't want to see this model go or anything like that. But fundamentally, we're no different to any other football club in the football league pyramid. We really aren't. Tell me what our priorities are and how we differ from any other club, any other football club. What are we doing? Are we paying above the odds for players? Yes, we probably are. Are we running at a deficit? Yes, we are. Are we putting the interests of the match going fans first? No. What are we putting first? Income. And yeah, sometimes I just get a bit annoyed with it, to be honest with you. But
no, I get that. Do you know what's interesting? I was watching the Aston Villa game against Man City. Cracking game, by the way, if you haven't seen it. What I noticed was,
I haven't seen it.
But what I did notice was there was no digital advertising on the opposite of the camera. So most grounds now, Man City have double height scoreboards, advertising.
I have seen those. Yeah, ludicrous. Yeah, like
which are crazy. Yeah. But they didn't on Aston Villa. They had static ones. But what they did was they had. It felt to me like they were smaller in width, so they had more going along, but they were static, and it caught my attention because they weren't moving, which I'm used to. It's really weird to see an old style no digital. But Aston Villa, obviously, I don't know what Aston Villa had on their TV, where the TV gantry was. I don't know, there's no point in that because that's just advertising to the people in the stadium, isn't it? But yeah, I know it's Aston Villa, so whether they felt that, I don't know, there could be many reasons for it, but you know, there is an issue. You know, the ball is very difficult to see. When the advertising boardings are on there, and I believe we've turned down the brightness on it. We've tried to make sure the tones, the colours, so you know, we're not going to have Ryegas with a luminous orange. But we try. I do understand that we've made sure that the colours we pick for advertising are colours that are not going to be extremely bright. But no matter what way you do it, they're a pain.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I mean, just to go back to your point there about Villa Park, smaller in width and not moving, sucks to be Aston Villa. But you know what? I've seen it in other. I have seen. I saw because you know what? In fairness to you, like when it comes to the Premier League, what I tend to see goals on the news in the morning. They'll go to the sports writer, so you'll see it. So I'll see stadiums and things like that. And I happened to see Selhurst Park this morning. They lost to Bournemouth, I think.
Yeah, Kiefer Moore scored for Bournemouth.
Kiefer Moore,
Yeah, definitely.
that's a blast from the past, isn't it? He scored
Yeah.
against us once for Rotherham when Lyle Taylor scored a hat trick. Anyway, we're getting off point. So they look like Selhurst Park. It looked like on the Whitehorse Lane end, where the exec boxes were, you know, like you have the railings at the front of the seats that you see. I think it looks like they've covered those over with more digital advertising hoardings, which is just, I'm sick of seeing digital advertising hoardings. I'm sick of seeing, you start seeing them on high streets where certain shops have now put that. I know I'm a Luddite. I don't care. Just looks, for me, they look cheap and tacky and horrible. And when they actually interfere with watching a game of football as well, they really do wind me up. Also, sorry, why the fuck is our scoreboard, and I've put this on Twitter a few times, why the fuck is it saying end of match for full time? What the fuck is that about?
Because
Is that
it's finished. It's the end of the game.
what happened to full time? What also happened, by the way, to man of the fucking match? Nice player of the match bollocks. Why? I don't get it.
Person of the match.
Pepsi.
Oh, is it a time to go on with Joe Barton?
Let's move on to the Joe Barton situation. Like,
Well, I think.
player of the match, my God. End of match. End of match. Why? But the thing is, people make these conscious decisions to do these things. So they, do
I
you know what
just
I mean?
say
It's
so, right?
why?
Yeah. Do you know what? It's funny. Obviously, I get to the ground with you because I do the stadium tours. And on Tuesday, I was there, and it basically we had a countdown on the scoreboard, and it was 5 hours. I was there early because I was getting things set up. And I'm thinking, who cares? There's no one in the ground who cares. It was 5 hour countdown. But I know
How's the
it's
kickoff?
hilarious. I'm gonna take a picture of it next time. You go 5 hours. Everyone get
And how
in.
many hours of that is electric that we could save money on? I don't know.
Yeah, fair point. I don't know, John, the club might say while they're doing it, but I just chuckled to myself. I'm normally there, like I say, with the Plough Stadium tour and getting Don's TV set up, and there's always a countdown. I'm like, oh, it's not long to
Do you reckon there's one now, like for the Swindon game going on right as we speak?
go.
Like 48 hours. Here we go. It won't be that long, but you know. Oh dear, I got well off topic there. What else do we want to moan about? We're going to talk about this. Right, okay. So many things we had to link to. The Crawley game you mentioned, moved to the Friday night, still annoyed about that. Whatever, it's gone. I'm not going. I am, however, I've not told you this yet, actually. I am actually going to Salford away.
Salford.
I am going to Salford away. Yeah, because I've not done Salford.
No,
And
nor have I. It's effort. It's effort,
it's effort to get to, but you know what I've done? It's basically a day out in Manchester, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's just a day out in
lovely.
Manchester.
Manchester's lovely, to be
I
fair.
do enjoy it in Manchester. So it's just a day out in
Yeah,
Manchester.
Manchester's lovely.
But I won't be doing Crawley because it's moved to the Friday. So on principle, I won't do that. In the same way, I'll never step foot inside St. James's Park because I disagree with nation states that murder journalists owning football clubs. But let's not go down that road for the moment. Crawley, the thing that's upset people about the Crawley game is that the tickets went on sale. I don't think anyone's going to miss out by the sounds of it. I think anyone who wants a ticket will be able to get a ticket. But tickets went on sale without an announcement, which, I mean, back in the, I know again, the internet has made us super lazy as a species. Like back in the day, you always had to publish on sale dates and times for away tickets so people knew when they could either phone up or go down to the stadium to purchase a ticket. And I think that principle should always be in place. And I think we miss a trick with these sorts of things. Just simple, publish in the, I don't know if it's in the program actually, I've not seen it, but literally just say such tickets for such and such a fixture will be available from this date at this time.
Joe's really interesting. We've got on the stadium tour, you've got a new tour guide, Howard, who's probably in, I don't know, he's been around a bit. I don't mean that in a horrible way, but he's in England, he's been to England games and stuff like that. And he was saying to me, we were chatting about getting tickets, and he said the earlier days were miles better. I used to just send a self-addressed envelope to the FA of England Ticket, used to get sent back to me. And do you know what? I chuckled because yeah, it was easy. And what he was saying was, because I was actually saying I was getting some tickets for I'm going to see Pink at the Tottenham Stadium
Okay.
too. And I was mentioning that my wife was 4,000th in the queue.
Nice.
And she had just logged on. They literally had just gone on sale, like 9:15, I think it was, and she was 4,000. How the hell 4,000 people got in the queue? And that's what we were saying about the self-addressed envelope. It just made me chuckle because I don't go back that far with the self-addressed envelopes, but you're right. We always have to queue up ticket offices. We couldn't get them online and stuff like that. So yeah, I think we are a bit lazy. I've noticed that they have been on sale for about a week. But that's because the potato tours have now gone live on the ticket site. So every time I went on there to check what had been
Right,
sold,
you see it.
I saw the Corey tickets were there, and I think Salford were there as well. That's what we got in it, I think.
Yeah.
Last game at home before Christmas.
Or Boxing Day, yeah. And then Sutton.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a fun
I can't wait. It's a Boxing
afternoon.
Day. Sutton on a Boxing Day.
Yeah. Traffic heading to Plough Lane is going to be immense that day. How else are people going to get
True.
there? Anyway. Right, we're running rapidly out of time. So all I just want to point out about this £6.7 billion TV deal that the Premier League have signed with increased numbers of fixtures and blah, 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 blah. What was I saying earlier about cost of living crisis? They're only paying these amounts of money because they've got the subscribers that will pay to watch it. So therefore going to suggest that subscriptions are doing pretty well as well. So, yeah, I just, as you know, Stu, the Premier League is just not for me anymore. And I just think it's absurd that that's the amount of money. And I saw a Henry Winter tweet the other day because I obviously, you know, I hate the Premier League. I refuse to watch it. I know I am conscious. I cannot not be conscious of Luton's results. Okay. It's just impossible for me. I need to know their results. Well, I don't need to know the results, but, you know, I can't avoid their results. And I saw what happened the other night with Arsenal. And Henry Winter put out a tweet saying, you know, that's why Declan Rice cost all that money or justifies that money. I'm thinking, no fucking footballer justifies £100 million worth of money. Oh. Don't get me started. We're running out of time. But it's obscene and it's absurd and it's ridiculous. I really cannot wait for the day the Premier League falls in. It's never going to happen. But I pray that one day it does. And teams like Manchester City and teams like Newcastle suddenly gain some form of morality somewhere along the line, but it never happened, so I give up. Western civilization is doomed, Stu. I might have mentioned this.
Yeah, hey, look, Joe, I do watch Premier League, and I'm guilty for a subscription. I class it as a fantasy league. It's a league that, even though we're three divisions below, we might as well be 20 divisions below because it's a different world.
20 leagues under the sea, yeah.
Yeah, and even to the extent, like I say, if we got a Premiership team away in the third round, I wouldn't have gone. I didn't go to Spurs when at Wembley. I didn't go to Arsenal. I didn't go to Chelsea this season. I have no intention of going to a Premier League ground, if I'm being honest with you, just because I think instead they live in a bubble and I don't really want to be around Premier League fans, if that makes any sense to anyone. So I watch it on TV because actually I like football and I like the quality of it. However, it's a different world. Absolutely different world, and when they're moaning, and you've got Palace fans at the moment throwing things at Roy Hodgson. That's a bit out of order because he's about 80, so he can't exactly get out of the way of them, can he? But you got
to be fair to him, he's still more mobile than Liam Trotter.
But you know, Roy Hodgson's saying basically, he hopes this fan has shown a bit of empathy because they've done really well, and the Palace fans are now showing that they don't think they have any ambition. That's what you get in the Premier League. You know, there are teams that have just survived. Palace are a team that will not get into the top half. They probably won't get relegated. They will just survive. But Premier League fans, they probably want someone to come and buy them out, you know, and just go and get someone else to spend ridiculous amounts of money.
I tell a lie, actually, Stu. Yeah, I know. Sorry. I tell a lie. I was actually around my mum's the other week, the other day, and it was, Forest Everton was on the TV. I mean, I look at the money and the sums of money that people are being paid and everyone associated with footballers gets paid and da, 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 and I look at it and go, this is shit. Like, I can understand you can watch some games, and I do appreciate you can watch some teams and some clubs and they play fantastic football and it's great entertainment to watch. Forest Everton was not that. Forest Everton was shite. But, you know, absolute crazy money that TV company paid for. Anyway, very quickly, sorry, because we are really short on time. We play Swindon on Saturday. Can you fill in the blank? It was once a Premier League fixture once upon a time, Wimbledon versus Swindon Town. Two players that played for Swindon that season with Wimbledon links. a midfielder, blank, blank, and another midfielder whose son would later go on to play for Wimbledon. His name being blank, blank.
John Moncur.
John Moncur, yes, well done. Yeah, John Moncur was one of them. Was George Moncur's dad? Yeah.
And another midfielder, Ben Hoddle. No, maybe not.
Wait a second, what have I missed?
With Swindon Link.
Sorry, was that Glenn Hoddle in one of his past lives? Or is that a joke that's gone too meta?
It was primarily when they got into the Premier League many, many years ago.
He was, yes.
What was the question?
Basically, former Wimbledon midfielder that played for Swindon in the Premier League.
Haven't got a foggiest.
You're going to kick yourself. Former manager of Wycombe Wanderers.
Gareth Ainsworth.
Nope. Oh, Stu, there's one very most famous goal in the history of Wimbledon. The most famous goal in the history of Wimbledon.
Oh, Neil Hardley. No. What am I going on about?
What goal did Neil Hardley score? When did he manage Wycombe?
Oh, I'm just totally confused.
No, no, no. Sorry, Stu. I have to do this because on Twitter just yesterday, I reminded us of the famous Turf Mill incident. And we have finally, after all these years, topped it because former Wycombe manager Neil Hardley scored the most famous goal in Wimbledon history.
I was suddenly thinking about the Watford game when we scored 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And
it got he didn't score in that.
5-0.
And Neil Hardley didn't score. No.
That's even worse. Oh, we're just going to edit this bit out, surely.
No chance. Have you got there yet? Have you got the actual answer yet?
I have no idea.
Laurie Sanchez?
Really?
Yeah, most famous goal in Wimbledon history.
Yeah, but he didn't play for Swindon, though, did he?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you go.
Did he?
When we won 4-2 at the County Ground, he played
against...
Yep.
When Fash scored that lob over Nicky Hammond. How's it? I can remember all the names.
You can remember all their other players except.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well. But can we just also, though, take a moment, though, remembering that most famous day in 1988 and congratulate Kelvin Davis for his penalty save that day. Fantastic. But anyway, right. Swindon on Saturday, Stu, we have to be really quick now. They're eighth. They've picked up a little bit after a dodgy run of form where they were conceding lots of goals, including 7-2 Aldershot in the FA Cup. So they've had a couple of weeks off. They've won their last couple of games as well. They're scoring goals. It's a tough game. We do go back above them should we beat them. However, they won 5-1 at Plough Lane on their last visit. Score prediction?
I think we'll win 2-3 now. I'm quite confident.
Oh, that's bold. Do you know what? Okay, all right.
I'm confident. We're playing well. And all time Ali's playing. We've got a chance. And that's not to say we're a one-man team, but Luminel, he's a good one at the moment.
I will go for an entertaining 2-2 draw. But anyway, updates for that game will be on Twitter at 9YRS Podcast and at AFC Wimbledon. That's it, because we have to move on. YouTube show, of course, will be back about 2:15 on Saturday as well on the club's official YouTube and Facebook channels. But that is it for this week. Sorry for ranting again. Any complaints, address them to Points of View, and responses will be posted if you include a self-addressed envelope. Stu, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Alexa Bliss, Bag First Milk Last, 2 + 2 = 4, and we shall speak to you again next week. Neil Hardley, Stu.